Today's Palm Sunday, but I don't really have a super very Palm Sunday message. Depends on how you look at it. There is going to be some overlap because one of the key words in that passage I read from Matthew earlier is what? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, right? That idea of blessing being showered on Jesus, we're actually going to reverse that a little bit and talk about how we can be a blessing to other people, all right? How we can be a blessing, because we're doing a series that we started last week called On Belay. And it's set as a question. Are you on belay? Because the question really is, are you engaged in the mission, okay? Are you on the mission that Jesus was on? Jesus was on a mission on Palm Sunday, riding into Jerusalem, heading toward the cross. And what did he do when he was resurrected? But he gave us the mission, didn't he? And so this is the series, this is the question, and each letter of belay, B-E-L-A-Y, stands for a habit that I believe will help you help me engage in the mission that Jesus has for each one of us. And so we started with the letter Y. We started at the very end, and Y just stands for you being on mission, okay? It's a mindset that says, this actually is, it's on me. I'm with Jesus on his mission. All right. So often in Christianity, as we become part of a church, we slip into that consumer mindset where we think I'm here to receive. Okay. But even Jesus says, right, I did not come to be served, but to serve, to give my life. And so that's now on us. And so this is a mindset, you being on belay, that you're saying, I'm an ambassador for Jesus. I'm an ambassador for what God is doing in the world. And we looked at Heiko's showing me a message we did a couple years ago. We've kind of changed it a bit. Two identical verses we looked at last week. One is found in Isaiah. One is found in Micah. And it's just an old prophecy from the Old Testament. It says, many peoples, many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And it's this idea that many people actually are seeking a relationship with God. There are God-hungry people in our culture. There are people that are actually searching for a relationship with something greater than themselves, and they don't know how to define it. They don't know what that God looks like. And so what this message is hoping to do, what this series is hoping to do, is to give us the tools we need to be on mission, to say, hey, I want to be available to people in my culture that are seeking God. And I want to help them give a name to it. And I want to be, in a sense, on belay, right? I want to help them make that climb. So that's the idea. So that was you. Y stands for you being on mission, okay? You being on mission. And so I want you to personalize that to yourself today as you hear the rest of these messages. All right, so B stands for bless. So what are we saying? We're saying being a blessing is a habit to bless others. It's a habit that we can begin to engage in that will actually put us on mission. And so the key verse for today, one of the key verses is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. It says, live such good lives. In other words, be such a blessing. If I can paraphrase it just in my own words. Live such good lives, be such a blessing among the pagans. All right, the NIV uses the word pagans. Some translations use the word Gentiles. It's just anybody who doesn't know Jesus, all right? That's the idea. That was what Peter was getting at. Live such good lives, be such a blessing that they might see your good deeds. In other words, see the way that you bless, see the way that you engage with your neighbors, your culture, and they glorify God on the day that he visits us. And so I just want you to take note of the math that's happening in this verse right here. All right, the math is simple. It's you bless, they notice, and they glorify God. That's kind of the math that Peter was. And Jesus actually said the same thing, didn't he? I don't have the verse in the notes, but Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and stick it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house, so that they can see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Okay? Pretty powerful, right? Just choosing to be a blessing And how many know in our culture right now, Christians are not known for being a blessing? We're really not. That's not the first thing that people would think of. But so I want to challenge us to be different. So you bless, they notice, they glorify God. So today we want to just ask the question, well, how can we bless? How can we actually bless others? And I had this weird idea, and you're going to see it here in a moment. But I know it's really weird, but I'm hoping it can help you remember. So I'm going to show you a picture of my hand. And then I'm going to take away that picture of my hand. I'm going to see if you can remember what the picture is. All right, show it up there, Noah. Put it up there. Okay, that's my hand. Okay, so take a good look. Memorize it.
Oh, wait, that's
what?
That was too fast.
No, yeah, take a good look. All right, memorize what you see there. And I'm going to see if you can interpret what you've seen. I don't know what that means. Okay.
Wait, what's the middle thing on there?
Well, we're going to see. See if you guys remember. Okay, what was on my pinky?
What if we don't know how we can remember?
Maybe somebody here will.
Gloves.
Okay, it was a pair of gloves. Work gloves, right? Nope.
Okay.
But the rest of us, maybe. Somebody will get it. Somebody, you'll see it again. You'll see it again. Don't worry. You'll see it again. Okay, what was on the pinky? Work glove. What do you think that means? What's a way we can be a blessing? What does that symbolize? Acts. What is it?
Labor.
Labor. Actions. Yeah. So the word I'm looking for is kind of like volunteering, serving people. Okay, putting on dirty gloves and then getting dirty. What was on this finger? Nope, actually it's still there, my ring, okay? So what do you think the ring would symbolize?
Relationship.
Yeah, relationship, awesome, yeah. Okay, engaging with somebody in a relationship, okay? Now the middle finger, I won't stick it up, but the middle finger.
Money,
okay? So that's a way of being a blessing, actually giving money. How many feel blessed when you get money given to you? Okay, what was on the pointer finger?
A ribbon.
What do you think that symbolizes?
Gifts.
Well, Christmas too. And then the thumb?
A key.
What do you think that means?
Hospitality.
Awesome. All right. So, I'm so glad. Now see if you can remember that through the week. All right. Okay, show the picture again. There it is. The pinky is a work glove. It represents volunteering, serving. Yeah. You got to make your own. Did you have a question?
No, I was just going to say Caleb's birthday is in a couple months, so you could just, this would be a good idea.
I'll put together the kits and I'll sell them for $20 or something like that. All right, so the picture was my idea. I don't know, I thought of it on the plane to Florida, I think. And it's a little weird, but hopefully it's a visual that helps you remember. Visuals, that's what visuals do. So that was my idea, but the five ways of blessing actually come from some research that Barna has done, the Barna Group. Barna is a Christian research organization, and they wanted to find out how Christians specifically show generosity. And when they surveyed, I didn't catch how many Christians they surveyed, but they surveyed a bunch of Christians. If you're familiar with Barna, they are the go-to group for Christian research. And they determined that Christians, this is their go-to, these are the five ways that Christians bless, okay? Or they show generosity. So for our purposes, we're going to say, here's five ways that we can be a blessing. And so the question that Barna asked, they said, in what ways are you most frequently generous to others? And here was what they found out, all right? Let's put the stats up there. So people that volunteer, this is Christians again. When they were asked, what ways are you most frequently generous? 31% of Christians said they volunteer. 25% they engage in relationships, showing empathy. 19% they give cash. That's their go-to, their first response. 16% is to give a gift. And 7% would be to show hospitality. Okay? So again, here's the thought that I want to share with you, I think is really interesting, is that, you know, Barna didn't create these ways of being a blessing. They discovered them, right? They asked the question. But even more than that, it's actually, there's a story in the Bible where the main character of the story embodies all five of these ways of being a blessing. Can you think, what story would you think of in Scripture where the main character demonstrates all five of these? The Good Samaritan. Yeah, the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan actually demonstrates every single one of these. And so if you don't know the story of the Good Samaritan, the story is that the Good Samaritan, right? He's making a trek from Jerusalem to Jericho. That's about 18 miles. And it's a 2,500 foot descent, give or take. So it's quite a trek. Some people in this room I know could probably do it in one day. Okay, how many think they could do it in one day? Raise your hand. Yeah, I see a few. Yeah. And my dad just told me a couple nights ago, because my dad grew up in Loveland. I don't know if you know that, but he grew up in Berthoud in Loveland. And he and his buddy, when he was 16, went hiking, went to, I think he said, Long's Lake, hiked to Long's Lake. And he said that was a 16-mile hike. And they did that, and they got to their destination in late afternoon in time to still fish. So if my dad can hike 16 miles, yeah, this could be a one-day trip. But probably when you're bringing a donkey like the Good Samaritan was, you know, probably was more like a two-day trip. And in very, very rough conditions, very dry. So you can see that whatever you need for your journey, you're probably going to have to bring it with you on the journey. There's no convenience stores. There's no, even today, right? So it's a...
Is that an actual picture of...
This is an actual picture of part of that trek.
Is that
yeah.
on all trails?
You know, I wonder. I'm like really tempted. I would love to do this someday. So Patty and I, we're deciding right now. We're going to do that. We're going to do this trip someday. How many want to do that trip with us? Let's do that, right? Let's organize a trip. Let's say 2 years from now, we're going to be in Israel. Hike. Yeah. I don't know. It's maybe 1 year from now. This summer. Let's go. You are. Yes, we already have our donkey. I'll just say it that way. Okay, so I'm going to read the story of the Good Samaritan. This is a story told by Jesus, and so we're going to hear the whole story and see if you can see where the Samaritan blesses in all five ways. If you have the visual of that, my hand in your head, you'll see my hand again shortly. But okay, here's the story. A man was going, this is Jesus talking. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out two denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. So let's just pray before we jump in here. Lord, we thank you for the story of the Good Samaritan. It's a story that I know has literally shaped cultures as we have been challenged by the goodness of this stranger. And Lord, we want to again create a culture that is shaped by stories that you've told, shaped by a story like the Good Samaritan, where maybe the Christian world has become known for other things. Father, may we be known for being a blessing. And we've seen, if we look through history, we've seen where cultures embrace that, whether it be a group of monks, whether it be a community of Christians that have said, we're going to be a blessing, and just the blessing that flowed out of that. So Lord, let that be true of us. And so help us to be challenged by your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so how can we bless others? Again, five ways. Barna found it. Jesus talked about it. And so we're going to look at it today. Number one is to volunteer, to serve. And really the whole story of this Good Samaritan is about somebody deciding to put some work gloves on and to serve, right? The whole story. But I'll read. And here's what's really interesting to me too, is that Barna determined that when that question was asked of Christians, 30% said that that was their go-to. And what I think is kind of remarkable, 30% of the people that encountered the man on the side of the road actually chose to volunteer. And so the percentage is the same, right? 30% is roughly one out of three, right? 33% technically would be one out of three. And that's exactly what happens in the story. One out of three people stopped. Luke 10:31 says, a priest happened to be going down the same road. He passed by on the other side. And, you know, I was reading a commentary on this. And when we say he passed by on the other side, it's easy. We you know, until I started looking at pictures, people visualize like this two-lane road where they could actually get way off to the other side. But commentators are saying the road was like this. And so maybe they were like stepping over, you know, near the edge. And so it's wow, you know, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite passed by on the other side, but a Samaritan took pity on him. And here's something important to remember about parables. When Jesus tells a parable, he doesn't tell us a parable so we can say, phew, you know, I'm doing it right. That's not the intent of parables. The intent of parables is that we would hear it and we would say, Lord, where do I need to repent and where do I need to change? You know, it's we have to look at our sense of pride if we read a parable like this and say, wow, I am just like the Good Samaritan. That's not what we're supposed to see. If there's a hero in any of Jesus's parables, it's Jesus, right? It's not us. Jesus is the hero, not us. And so we're to see, okay, Lord, challenge me. Lord, should I repent? Where do I need to repent? All right. And it's sobering for me as I realize that really I'm not so different. I personally am not so different than the priest and the Levite in this story. If I was asked the question, what is your go-to when it comes to being a blessing? Volunteering and serving, getting my hands dirty, isn't my go-to, okay? It's not the first thing that I would think of. But when I have served in this way, I'm always blown away by the impact, not just on the person that is being served, but on what God does in my heart when I serve. I'll tell you a story about, it's not my story, but it's, I went on a missions trip to Honduras back in 2005. And there was an older gentleman on the trip. He grew up in North Dakota. And from what I remember, I don't know that he had ever left the state of North Dakota his entire life. He grew up on a farm. He took over the farm when his parents were passed. He was like second or third generation German farmer. And he still had a thick German accent. So this is somebody who didn't hardly leave the farm. Okay, so he was on this missions trip to Honduras, and he was unbearable the first like two or three days of the trip, because we would drive from our hotel to the work site where we were helping to build what's called a teen challenge. Teen challenge is where people can overcome drug addiction through Bible study, through mentorship and, you know, discipleship and such. And we would be driving through the town and he would be looking out the windows and he'd be saying, I can't believe how people are so lazy here. Look at them sitting on the side of the road doing nothing. And I'm just like, you know, and the country is impoverished. There's literally, you know, if people don't have a job, they can't get a job and all of this. And he says, when I was a kid, my dad told me we have to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And he was saying, if these people would just apply themselves, they could get out of this poverty. And you know, nobody was really, I think he had his own pastor. I had my group and there was another group there. And so I let his pastor take care of it. And I was, you know, considerably much younger at that time too. But one night, I can't remember his name even, but the German farmer decided he didn't want to go back with us to the hotel. He was just going to stay at the campsite and sleep on the ground of the place we were working. So he slept on the ground, and he was surrounded by all these guys that were overcoming their drug addiction. And he watched as they would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and begin their day with worship and singing. And he watched them begin to work, and he began to work alongside him. And we showed up maybe 10 a.m., and he was in tears. And just serving had, like, literally transformed his heart. And, of course, the people he was serving, you know, they were blessed. And he ended up engaging in other ways of blessing. He bought some equipment for the guys. And, it was cool. But it all started when he decided to put on work gloves and live with them literally overnight, you know, sleeping underneath the stars, serving these guys. So the challenge is to each of you, like, how can you be a blessing in this way? You know, how can you engage in serving? And I know Sarah, a month ago, talked about a couple of opportunities. So can they still talk with you with some ideas, perhaps?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, in fact, okay. The little glove finger.
Yes.
You think of Cultivate, wherever Greg is.
Nice.
So we're going to be doing, we're going to be starting up Yard Busters.
Cool.
So it's a great opportunity in the summer to go help elderly people.
That's cool. Yeah, I think of this, you know, in a gig economy, we live in a gig economy where you can get paid to do anything. You can download an app. So, and you have to tip everywhere, right? So even when you feel like you did all the serving yourself, you know, you still have to tip. And so when somebody just shows up and said, hey, I'm just going to bless you, no tip, no charge, it can really speak loudly. All right. All right. Here's the second way that we can be a blessing. How many remember what it was? Relationship. Okay, relationship. And I'm talking about where we just choose, we don't have words to say, all right? We just listen, we show empathy, we show compassion, just loving presence. And again, we see this in the story of the Good Samaritan. Verse 33, it says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Now the word took pity is from this Greek word right here, and that Greek word is pronounced roughly splachnon, okay? That's as close as I can get to it. Now, what is the splachnon? Anybody want to guess about what the original meaning, what splachnon might be? Christian, do you know? Yes? Yeah, well, that's what it became, but there's actually a very literal, visceral meaning to it.
You're touching your belly.
Visceral.
I did. Visceral was a cue. Yeah, so splachnon referred to your guts. Not just your heart, but literally like your intestine, your spleen, your bladder, all of your inner parts. So that was the original meaning. And so we might say in English, we might say our heart goes out to somebody. In the Greek language, they would have said my like intestines go out to them. My gut, my inner parts go out to this person. And so over time, inner parts, the splachnon, your gut, became known as, you know, having compassion, having empathy. And so it's a very visceral, very concrete word. And so it gets translated different in English translation. The ESV says when he saw him, he had compassion. And I think that's a very kind of polite way of saying it. The Message translation, once in a while, the Message really nails it. Message translation says when he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. All right, and that's literally what happened. But in the Greek mind, they would have said his inner parts went out to him. And what does this tell us? It tells us that if we're going to bless other people in a relationship, that we've got to let ourselves feel their story in our gut. Sometimes we try to process people's story with our brain, but sometimes we just need to process their story with our gut, right? Our heart. And so let's see how good your memories are. This one will be more toward Gen Z somewhat. Theme song from Toy Story. What is the theme song from Toy Story? How does it go? All right. You've got a friend in me. Yeah. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Yeah, you've got to. Okay, now here's one for millennials. How about the theme song from Friends? What are the lyrics of Friends?
I've never seen Friends either.
It's like you're always stuck in second gear when it hasn't been your day, your week, or month, or even your year, but
I'll be there for you.
There you go. Okay, so and here's a little bit Now this is for Gen X. This is for the older people. Theme song from Cheers.
Sometimes you wanna go
where everybody knows your name. Dun, dun, dun. And they're always glad you came. Dun, dun, dun. You want to see? Anyway, all right. What I think is interesting. So who wins? Gen X, Gen Z, or millennials? Who won that one? I heard Gen X. That's what I heard. Yeah. But I think it's interesting. Every generation has a theme song about being known and about being heard. And I think it's pretty impressive. It's you've got a friend in me, I'll be there for you, and you want to go where everybody knows your name. And it's fascinating to me. And so my challenge to you is to understand people's story from your splachnone, from your gut, right? As a Christian who gets seasoned in Christianity, for some reason we get really good at processing people's story with our brains. And we can judge, and we can say, you shouldn't be like that. You can be so much better. But Jesus elevates the story of a Samaritan who just is willing to understand somebody's situation with their gut. So I think there's power in us just spending time. That's really how this blessing works. We just spend time. If you got a few minutes, send somebody a text message. If you got a few hours, go out to coffee. If you got a whole afternoon, ask somebody to go on a hike. You know, just engage in relationship. Third way to bless other people is money. Money. Yeah, money. And because, you know, we got to be honest here. The guy on the side of the road needed more than just a friend, didn't he? He needed more than just a friend. He needed somebody to help him with his medical expenses. He's beaten up on the side of the road. And if the Good Samaritan came by and said, hey, buddy, you've got a friend in me. You know, have a nice day. And walks on his way smiling, humming the tune to Cheers. That wouldn't have been a blessing, right? So empathy is good, but empathy does not pay the bills. And so the Good Samaritan knows this. And listen to what happens. Verse 35, it says, the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you might have. And we talked about this a few months ago, I think, but a denarii is worth about a day's wages. That was the value of a denarii. So the guy literally gave 2 days' wages to cover this complete stranger's expense. And for you, everybody, that's different, right? I don't know how much a day's wage is to you, but you can calculate that in your head. And I want you to think about this, is that in order for us to give in a way that helps them, sometimes we have to give in a way that hurts us, okay? If we're going to give in a way that helps them, we have to give in a way that actually hurts us. Because when I imagine the Good Samaritan traveling a road known for bandits, it's an 18-mile hike, he's probably not going to bring much more than what he actually needs for the journey. He's not going to go loaded with gold, loaded with silver. He's going to bring what I need for this journey. So it's not hard to imagine when he gives away 2 days' worth of wages, he's giving away something that he himself needs. And it's he's going to feel it. And so for his gift to really help, it had to personally hurt. And Paul addresses this to the Corinthians. During the time when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, at least in 2 Corinthians, there was a famine that was taking place in Jerusalem. It had been predicted and it happened, and the believers in Jerusalem were having a very tough time. So the Apostle Paul, he urges churches not to just feel it in their gut, right? He wanted them to have compassion for the believers in Jerusalem, but he urged them to sacrificially give money to actually help out. He says, don't just have compassion, I want you to actually give. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 7, this is where Paul says this. He says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Okay, They're impoverished themselves, but they're giving out of joy. Their poverty is welling up in generosity. Amazing language here. Entirely on their own, it says, they urgently pleaded with us for this privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And then in verse 5, he says, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. And so we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, now listen to what he says. Since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, right? You feel things, you're empathetic, all of that. And in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And so Paul is praising them. He says, you guys are really good. Corinthians, he says, you're really good at being a blessing with your words. You excel in the grace when it comes to your speech and your knowledge and your language. You guys are really good at that. He says, but I want to challenge you now to be a blessing with your wealth, you know, to give sacrificially, to give like the Macedonian brothers are giving. You guys, you be a blessing. You excel in that grace as well. And I think Paul could say the same thing to us. Because according to that research done by Barna, the most common go-tos are what? Volunteering and relationship. Those are the two top ones. And neither of those actually cost any money necessarily, right? We can serve and it doesn't cost us anything financially. We can be in relationship with somebody, show compassion from our gut. Doesn't really cost us anything. But only 20% of Christians say that their go-to is to actually give money. And so that's, you know, roughly one out of five. And so let's do better than that, right? Let's hear the words that Paul spoke to the Corinthians. Let's hear them like he's talking to us. Let's receive the praise that he wants to give about, hey, we're good with our words and all of that, and our earnestness, our love. But let's excel also in this area of giving. All right, here's the fourth way, is gifts. Gifts. Gifts is anything, according to the research done by Barna, it's anything we give away that doesn't involve money. Okay, anything of value that isn't cold, hard cash. Because cash is actually, it's the easiest gift to give. We can literally just push a button on our Venmo, or we can scan a QR code, we can give money, and we can be on our way. So it's super easy, but it's not always the most helpful, to be honest, right? Sometimes cash can even be insulting, right? And so we have to be led by the Spirit. So this is why I say it's insulting. Can you imagine if the Good Samaritan saw the guy on the side of the road and he said, wow, you look in rough shape. Here's a denarii. See you later, right? Because what is the guy on the side of the road supposed to do with a denarii, right? What is he going to do with that? What's the likelihood? What's going to happen to that denarii sitting by the man on the side of the road? It's going to get stolen, right? It's going to get taken. It's not actually going to address his need. So watch what the Samaritan does instead. Luke 10:34, it says, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. In just that short verse, there's three valuable gifts that the Samaritan gives away to the guy on the side of the road. Number one, he bandages his wounds. Where do you think the bandages came from? Probably his clothes, right? I don't think there was a Walgreens nearby where he could pick up a box of Band-Aids, right? He probably used his own clothes. And so imagine him taking off his tunic, taking off some piece of garment that he had brought along for the journey for himself. He's taking it off, ripping it, bandaging the wounds. And then it says he poured on wine. Why do you think the Good Samaritan brought wine for the journey? To drink it. Right. It wasn't like, you know, rubbing alcohol. You know, this is his drink. And what is he doing? He's taking something again that he needs for himself, and he's giving it away. Think about the oil. What was the oil brought along for? What do you think?
Gas for the donkey.
Gas for the donkey. That's nice.
Moisturizer.
Moisturizer, maybe. I think cooking. Yeah, yeah, salad. Salad dressing, a little vinegar.
Or instead of cash, he brings oil because they can be converted
to cash. That's a good thought. Yeah, yep. Yeah, Christian.
So oil was also used to keep clean.
Keep clean, yep.
And so it was a way of putting it on and scraping it off.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing to keep in mind for a hike in the future up in... What is that guy doing? But the point is that the nature of a thoughtful gift is often something we could use on our own journey, but because God moves in our heart, we choose to give it away. And that's where a gift actually becomes really powerful. This is something I could have used, but I'm giving it to you. All right, so we're raising the bar. We're talking about not just clicking order on Amazon and sending it to their address, but how can we be a blessing with our gifts? And I think of one time, I'll just tell you a personal story where I personally was blessed to be a blessing. Patty and I, you've heard the story. We used to drive, we used to live out of a van, literally, like when we were 22, 23, 24. We traveled around with like minstrels. We did music with another couple, and we were very poor. We lived on about $100 a month that we got to use for ourselves, whether we needed it or not. Right? That was what we kind of lived on. And somebody gave us a gift of cash. I don't remember the story how much they gave, but I knew it was enough for me to buy a guitar. And because I had a guitar, but it was it was a $50 guitar that Patty had got me when I first started learning. And I had worn it out to where the neck broke off of the body. It was so bad. So I really thought I could use a new guitar. And I just felt the Lord moving on my heart because I knew the guy that we traveled with was wanting a bass. So I went out and bought him a bass. And I hate telling a story where like I'm not trying to be the hero, but I just want to let you know how blessed I was, because I bought him the bass, but gave it to him anonymously. So he like came out, look at somebody got me this bass, and I got to experience the joy of giving a gift without being thanked for it. But it brought to mind this passage in Acts 20 verse 35. Paul is writing. He says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So this is a huge way not to only be a blessing, but to be blessed. It's fun to give. It's fun to give a thoughtful, meaningful gift. And it can actually change somebody's life, through that generosity. All right, the last one we're going to look at, we'll look at it briefly, is hospitality. Luke 10:34, it says, then he put the man on his own donkey. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. And so this is the essence of hospitality, is that we use our own stuff to be a blessing. We think of hospitality as just bringing people into our home, but he didn't have a home, but he had his donkey. He used his own donkey. And I talked about hospitality back in November. And I'll take a cue from TN. The episode was number 38, if you want to listen to that one. So I'm not going to rehash the idea here about being hospitable. But being hospitable, what I said back then was that we create space in four key areas. We're going to create space in our heart. We create space in our schedule. We create space in our budget. And we create space in our home. That's what it means to be hospitable. But here's the thing. Here's what's kind of shocking, is that when Barna asked that question, in what ways are you most frequently generous to others, hospitality came in at the very last. It came in at just 7%, where that would be what people say would be their go-to. And it's not surprising, because I think being hospitable might feel like it actually costs the most. Because it involves using our space, right? It involves using my time. It involves me using my stuff. And we can get pretty protective of our stuff and our time and our space, right? And so I just want to challenge us to, let's beat the average. Let's beat the average. If the national US percentage of Christians is 7%, let's double that. Let's have it so it's 14% of us, would say that's going to be my go-to. Let's do so much better than that. So let me conclude by saying something that might offend. I don't intend to offend, but here's what I want to say. All right, get ready. If you want to be an average Christian, then stick with your go-to way of being generous. If you thought of that list and you can say, that's my go-to, well, if you want to be an average Christian, stick with your go-to and don't change and you'll be average and you'll still go to heaven and, you know, it'll be all right. But if you want to be the kind of person that Jesus literally brags about, Jesus is bragging about the Good Samaritan. If you want to be the kind of person that Jesus brags about, then be like the Samaritan and bless other people, all five. Mm-hmm. Don't just have a favorite that you go to. This is my one thing. This is my way of blessing. But go to all five. What are they? So when volunteering and serving is needed, show up for it. Do it. When a relationship is needed, when somebody needs your splachnone, your guts to go out to them and feel compassionate, be the friend. Okay, be that friend, spend that time. When money is needed, give it. When a gift is needed, give it. When hospitality is needed, show it. Use your own stuff. All right, let's close in a word of prayer, and I'm gonna put that question that Barna actually asked, or not the question that Barna asked, it's based on that question, but here's a question you can discuss. We're actually gonna dismiss, and you can get coffee or whatever, but if you wanna have a question to chat about over coffee, over a cinnamon roll, it'd be this one. What way of being a blessing do you need to grow in the most? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. And as I think about it, there's actually some parallels to the Palm Sunday story. You showed up on a donkey being praised. And here's the story of a Good Samaritan also on a donkey, riding, but being a blessing. Lord, blessing others. And so I pray that you would help us to be a blessing. And Father, help us not to be just average. Lord, we might have one that kind of fits our personality and we sort of go to it. Maybe for some of us, giving cash is easy. Maybe for some of us, just being a friend is easy. Lord, but challenge us to grow, to be a blessing in all the various ways that we could be a blessing. So give us eyes that see as we go out into our culture. Give us ears that hear. Give us a guts that feel with compassion. Give us hands that hold on to our things just loosely, and that we could share them and be a blessing. And Father, as a result of being a blessing, we pray that your kingdom would grow, because your word says that as people see our good deeds, that you will be glorified. They will glorify our Father who is in heaven. And so we believe that, Lord. We believe that people will have a thirst for Jesus and will begin a relationship with Jesus simply because we choose to engage with them by being a blessing. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.